May it please God to bless his word as we meditate in it this evening. Let us turn to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 45, and we'll read the last verse, verse 5. The prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 45, and reading verse 5. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord, but thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. How much instruction there is really in the Word of God for every eventuality in our lives. And it's good when we can read the Word of God with that true concern that his Word may speak to our hearts in whatever condition we are in and whatever need of help and instruction and direction we need. And we read here in this account in Jeremiah of the position with regards to the scribe or the servant of Jeremiah, Baruch. And these words were spoken to Baruch, and he was told by Jeremiah when the Lord said, Thus shalt thou say unto him, The Lord saith thus, Behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. And seekest thou great things for thyself, seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord, but thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. Now from what we read together in the 36th chapter of Jeremiah, there was that roll which contained the words that Jeremiah had dictated to Baruch to be read. And it was read before the people and before the princes. And then, of course, someone else was read it before the king. But Baruch was privileged to write it and to be able to read the great truths that God had commanded Jeremiah to write. And of course they were very telling words, they were very condemning words, because Israel had walked and so contrary to the Lord God for so many years. And now in captivity, the Lord was again directing and speaking to them. And so Baruch had this privileged position of being able to write these words and to address the people and the princes. And we know, of course, what happened when the roll was read before the king. The king didn't like what he heard at all. And as soon as it began to be read, he took the pages and cut them out with a penknife and burnt them in the fire. Well, we cannot destroy God's word. We may destroy the paper that the words are written on, but we can't destroy the words of God. And the king was not able to destroy the words of God. And it's amazing, really, that having done that, we read that the same words were written again. Yes, Jeremiah was able to dictate those same words and they were written again and much more beside. Well, it's clear that Baruch therefore had a prominent position in this situation. And now we find that Jeremiah speaking unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch, thou didst say, and this is what Baruch said, Woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Well, he'd been the instrument in reading this word from Jeremiah, which was not good news to Jehoiakim, and now it's been burnt and taken away, and he doesn't know what's going to happen, and therefore he comes and says, Woe is me now. He was therefore concerned. What was going to happen to him? What was the situation? For the Lord had added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing and feel no rest. Well, it may be because he was very disappointed that he wasn't in a prominent position. He wasn't perhaps highlighted as the bringer of the great word of God, but had been, as it were, put down. And therefore he comes and says, woe is me. He may have been disappointed. He may have been sorry for the position which had developed. You know, sometimes in our lives we have situations like that, don't we? We see the picture. We envisage the picture. And we imagine what's going to happen. And we see ourselves in a prominent place and a prominent position. And then we see how these things, as it were, fall apart. And perhaps we feel like Barak and said, oh, woe is me now. For the Lord addeth grief to my sorrow. Things haven't really been working out as I anticipated. Well, it may be that Barak, of course, did not have the right desire, the right spirit. He was just a scribe. And he was just reading that which Jeremiah had been commanded by God to speak. It was God's word, and he should have been very content to have just been the mere reader of the word of God. But it would seem, therefore, that he was looking perhaps for something more important, looking for a more prominent position, as it were, in the field of this prophecy. And therefore we find that the Lord speaks through Jeremiah and speaks to him these very important words. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Seek them not. Well, that may be appropriate to all of us. It may be appropriate to some of us. It may be appropriate to one of us. But it's a blessing when God takes us in hand. And when God speaks to us in clear words of instruction. And perhaps these words are very simple, aren't they? And they're very clear. We don't need a degree to understand them. And yet, they may cut across the things that we intended to do, the things we intended to say. Because when the Lord speaks to our hearts, you know, we cannot ignore them. We may try to, but we won't be able to. You see, King Jehoiakim tried to ignore the word of Jeremiah, but he wasn't able to. See, God wrote the words again. And you and I cannot ignore the word of God. We cannot ignore a word like this. Because naturally, we all seek great things for ourselves, don't we? In one way or another, we all imagine this and that coming to pass. And we can imagine ourselves being in some position. And that would bring honour to ourselves. And the Lord deals with us in love to our souls. And he deals with us with words like this to bring us down and to direct us as to what we should not do, and that is to seek great things for ourselves. The question is asked, you see, seekest thou great things for thyself? And it's good when the Spirit of God looks into our hearts and asks us the very same question. What are our motives? How good it is when the Lord comes. We may initially rebel against it. We may initially not like such words being addressed to us. And we may wish we never heard them. But as the Lord graciously comes and touches our heart, we shall be able to come and say, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. You see, the Lord has a perfect way. The Lord's way is better than ours. The Lord's way is higher than ours. And the Lord's purposes will be worked out. And they'll be worked out not for your or my honour and glory, but for his honour and glory. And how important that is in our lives, that we recognise such a truth, that our life is to show forth the honour and glory of God. We come to that position like John the Baptist did, who had been, you know, so eminently used, hadn't he? John the Baptist, wonderfully favoured person, you know, born of Elizabeth just those 3 months before the Lord Jesus, and then the one who was the instrument in baptising the Lord himself, and had that very clear view of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And yet, you see, God brought him to that humble position where he was able to come and say, he must increase and I must decrease. Decrease in our own estimation of our own abilities, of our own position, and to be humbled under the mighty hand of God. Now, all that is affected by such a situation generally is our pride. Because we have to come down. We have to climb down. We have to submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. What a blessing it is to know that the Lord isn't leaving us and hasn't left us. So if we were left, what terrible mistakes we might make. But to realise that we have a God in heaven who looks down upon us and touches our heart and gives us that humble submission to the will and purposes of Almighty God. And seekest thou great things for thyself, seek them not. Now this is a very broad statement, isn't it? And it affects all our natural life, and it affects all our spiritual life. You know, sometimes there are those things in our spiritual life that we may pray for a wonderful blessing, perhaps in relation to some particular thing, perhaps some particular doctrine, that we pray that the Lord will give us a wonderful revelation of the truth of God in some specific area, and we may not receive answers to those prayers. We may perhaps wonder why the Lord has been silent and we haven't heard. Perhaps it's because if the Lord had granted an answer to our prayers with that respect, what would have happened was that we'd been seeking great things for ourselves. Perhaps things to be able to impress people by. It's a very sad thing, isn't it? In spiritual things, when there is that desire to be able to impress people by those things which God has done for us. Well, seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. See, the Lord knows what you and I need, not what we think we need. And there's a big difference. Sometimes people imagine they need a certain blessing in a certain position, reference to something. And they may be convinced it is so. And yet you see, on a very careful analysis, it may be so that they can consume it upon their lust. So they'll be well thought of, having a wonderful testimony, a wonderful experience. Well, you see, the Lord God, he won't allow that. He won't allow that because he will have the honour and he will have the glory. It comes down to this: a little that a righteous man hath is better than the treasures of many wicked. My friends, you and I need a little of the work of God in our hearts, which we should be so thankful for. And yet, you see, we won't be able to boast of such a wonderful experience. We will be able to boast of what God has done for us. And what will it do? We shall be humbled. Humbled before God. This was really the words here that Jeremiah was speaking to Barak. Yes, he was speaking good words of instruction. And it wasn't as though he was going to be left. He wasn't going to be forsaken, because the words tell us, "For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord, but thy life, thy spiritual life, will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest." He wasn't going to be left. God was going to be with him. But it wasn't perhaps going to be in the way that Barak had thought, that Barak had envisaged in his little mind. No, God had a greater plan and a better plan that would be for Barak. And perhaps in our lives, God has provided some better thing. Some better thing. Yes, what a mercy that is. Then if we are brought to submit ourselves unto the Lord God, we look at the present. God knows the end from the beginning. We don't. We just see the present. And we're often so foolish. We try and weigh everything up in the present situation. Whereas it would be a blessing if we possess that grace to commit our way unto the Lord and trust also in him. You know, God's servant James, he instructs us, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." What a favour that is, to be brought on that. And if we've been therefore seeking great things for ourselves, then to be blessed. And it is a blessing when God enables us to humble ourselves. And it's wonderful in the sight of the Lord. God sees us. Humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, as James says. People don't see that. God sees it. In the sight of God, he's given us that grace to lower ourselves, to bring ourselves down, so that the Lord then may lift us up. We can imagine, can't we, Barak, proud perhaps to have been the scribe. There were no doubt many scribes in the land at that time, but the Lord had called him to be the scribe to Jeremiah, to be able to come and read this before the princes. No doubt he was thankful and pleased to be able to do such a situation, but now, see, things have gone wrong. Things haven't quite worked out. And he says, "Woe is me now." Oh yeah, things weren't as rosy as they appeared. "Woe is me now." And therefore, Jeremiah comes. And he puts his finger right on the problem. God puts his finger right on the problem. "Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not." I often think, and I say, the very lovely little account of Jabez, recorded, the prayer of Jabez, in the midst of many names in the Chronicles, where we hear his prayer, and he came and he said, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast." You see, he didn't come with conditions that he wanted this and he wanted that. He just wanted God to come and to bless him indeed. And you see, if you and I come in that way, the Lord knows what we require, what we need in our spiritual life. He knows. And if we come in a right way, not laying down conditions, not telling the Lord, you know, we can sometimes be found, as it were, dictating to God. It's like this. We come perhaps not in quite so many words, but we say, I've got a plan, Lord. It's a good plan. And I want you to work it out. Not at all. God has a great plan. And you and I will work it out in accordance with his will and purpose for us. And therefore it's a wonderful mercy to realise that God deals with us in love. He was dealing here with Barak, graciously in love, and telling him, seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Now, the blessing is for you and me to receive grace, to walk in that way, and to cease seeking great things for ourselves, and to seek them not, and to submit ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And we are not to exalt ourselves. You see, the word of God tells us in Matthew, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. We must beware of exalting ourselves. We must be concerned that God, therefore, will lift us up in his way and in his time. I often think of that very beautiful word that we read, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now, we might consider that a doorkeeper is perhaps the lowest position in the church of God. But it's a right desire, and it's a good desire, to not be in some eminent position, but to be willing to serve the Lord in whatever place the Lord has for us. And so, not to be found seeking great things, but to have that desire to rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, just fulfilling some humble position, thankful to be able to fulfill some humble position in the house of the Lord. What a favour that is. What is it? It's receiving the Spirit of God. We're not then exalting ourselves. We're desiring that God might indeed be lifted up, and God might be honoured, and God might be exalted. In the epistle to the Hebrews, the apostle wrote in the last chapter, we read the instruction, let our conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for it said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now surely that's the great desire of our hearts. I hope it is, to hear and to know that the Lord has said he will never leave us nor forsake us. And the apostle goes on to say, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall say unto me. It's to desire a conversation without covetousness. By nature, we are covetous people. And that's why we have such words in the Word of God to instruct us let our conversation be without covetousness, and to be content with such things as we have. And to think, therefore, we have that wonderful promise when he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, the Lord is never going to leave us nor forsake us. What we know is this. The Lord will be with us. He'll be with us in our spiritual life. And the Lord will provide for us in our spiritual life all that we need to bring us home at last to glory. The Lord will feed our souls. It may not be, as we may say, a wonderful banquet, But it may be like Israel of old, who were granted a simple fare in the wilderness. Remember, our life on this earth is a wilderness. Day by day they receive the manna from God, day by day. Never failed. God's mercies never fail. Day by day, and the children of Israel were brought at last into the promised land. They crossed over Jordan without any effort. The Lord made the way. The Lord provided the way where there appeared to be no way. And Israel came safely into Canaan. And so it is to the church of God today. The Lord guides and directs us. And he feeds us day by day with that spiritual food. And you know that spiritual food must be centered in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Or seek for spiritual food. Seek for that daily support, that daily sustenance. Remembering the word of God, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the treasures of many wicked. Let us not despise the day of small things. Let us be thankful for that which God says and that which God does, for our encouragement and for our blessing. What a favour it is to know that the Lord is with us. The Lord is going with us. The Lord is teaching us. And he's leading us. You know, Jacob, we're told, the Lord found him. Where did he find him? In a waste, howling wilderness. What did he do with him? He led him about, and he instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. You know, Jacob could never have envisaged the journey that he would have to take to bring him at last to the promised land, the land of glory. He would never have realized the Lord would have to make all his goodness to pass before him in the way. But he was to be part of that great and glorious plan that brought the little company of his family down into Egypt, and that family would become a great multitude and would be a mighty nation. But in that life, you see, Jacob was brought down, wasn't he? And he came and he said, all these things are against me. And sometimes in our lives, the Lord speaks a word like this: seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. We might think, well, all these things are against me. No, they're not. All things are working together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. They are working together for good. They may not appear to be at the moment, because the Lord is perhaps crossing our path. Yes, perhaps he's bringing us down. Perhaps the things that we'd anticipated are being destroyed, because the Lord is dealing with us in love to our souls, so that we might indeed be exalted in due time, in God's time, in God's way. You see, when that occurs, then it will be the right time, and it will be for his honour and for his glory. The apostle, when he wrote to the church at Philippi, there are so many words of instruction that the apostle gives to us in his epistles, but in the 4th chapter to the Philippians and in the 11th verse, he tells us this: not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. And you trace out the apostle Paul's life, how much he had to learn, didn't he? For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He was able to set before us that great and glorious conclusion, and how the apostle proved the blessing of God in his soul. See, walking this way, when he tells us, "Ye learn in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." You think of the path that he led. You think when he was in Philippi. You think when he was imprisoned for doing the Lord's will. But the Lord granted a great deliverance and a great blessing. And you see, the apostle was wonderfully blessed with revelations of the Lord himself. He tells us about them in the Corinthians, how the Lord, how he was lifted up and into the third heaven and saw things unspeakable. Yes, not to be able to speak of, but we see the Lord's goodness and mercy to the Apostle Paul. And that the Apostle Paul had to lose all his greatness, looked up to as a wonderful Pharisee. The Lord humbled him. The Lord brought him right down, so that he cried out, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Now you see, here we have this position. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. What are we to do? Come like the Apostle Paul. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord had a great work for the Apostle to do. He began preaching, but then he went into the desert for some 3 years. The Lord instructed him. The Lord taught him. It's a good thing when the Lord's hand is upon us for good. We're not being left to ourselves, but the Lord is gracious to us and being mindful of us. And we are often found to be so foolish. We're full of pride and we're full of vanity, isn't it? Vanity, you think of what that is. We imagine things, don't we? And we paint pictures. We find they don't come to pass because we claim some of the honour and we claim some of the glory. And of course, the Lord will not have us take any glory from himself. No, the Lord is indeed a great God. He is a holy God, but he will have all the honour and he will have all the glory. And so Solomon knew something about this. And he tells us in the Proverbs, "Remove far from me vanity and lies." Vanity. We have to examine ourselves and see whether there is any vanity in our lives. And he says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me." Now, what a blessing when God feeds us with convenient food. And surely that food is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a mercy if God deals with us so that we're led into the sufferings of Christ. You know, we're not led into the sufferings of Christ. We're on the mountaintop. We're led into the sufferings of Christ when we're in the valley. And when the Lord then comes to us in our lower state, and he then draws near and encourages us, what does he do? He shows us his hands and his feet. He shows us what he suffered to redeem our souls. He shows us the cost of our salvation. Have we been seeking great things for ourselves? Should we not have been seeking great things that would bring honour and glory to our God, that he might be lifted up? Well, the Lord does it in these ways, by bringing us down into the valley. And there we're blessed with fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How the Apostle Paul knew the blessing of it. and how he desired it again and again to know Christ and him crucified. There's no greater place of blessing than that. There's no greater favour. We'll then lose sight of all the great things that we perhaps imagine for ourselves, and we'll be truly humbled in the dust that Almighty God has come and put us in our place, shown us where we were going wrong, showed us our wrong motives, in love to our souls, delivered us from that situation, and brought us into that place of fellowship with his sufferings. To realise that what Christ has done to redeem our souls, the cost of it, that will make us willing to be nothing, that Christ might be all and in all. It's the grace of God. It's the blessing of God. It's the mercy of God. It's the love of God. It surely is, isn't it? If we look through these things and consider them, it's God's love to our soul. When the Lord perhaps speaks such a word as this, "Seekest thou great things for thyself," we may not really have been realising what we've been doing. And then the Lord comes and addresses us in love to our souls, that we are therefore to not seek those things which we had been seeking. Seek them not doesn't mean to say the Lord's going to leave us. No, it means the Lord has a different path for us. The Lord means that, as Jeremiah spoke to Barak, that the Lord would be with him in all places whither thou goest. All places. See, as Jacob was led about, and he was instructed, and he was kept as the apple of the eye of God. How humbling that is, isn't it? Didn't walk his path, but he walked God's path. And it was a path of blessing. It was a path of instruction, and a path which brought honour and glory to God. Yes, Jacob was able to say that it was the Lord. Yes, it was the Lord. Jacob is now alive. I will go down to Egypt before I die. Yes, God's deliverance, God's blessing, God's favour. God has a perfect time, and God has a perfect plan for you and me. And it is sometimes in our life the Lord comes and corrects us in love to our souls and makes us conformable to his image. We have the great and glorious example, don't we, of the Saviour himself as he walked this earth. Oh, what an example we have. He pleased not himself. He did his Father's will. How he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, wonderful it is if God gives us grace to humble ourselves, to submit to the will of God, and to hear such words as these, "And seekest thou great things for thyself, seek them not," realizing that God has prepared some better thing for us. And God has gone to prepare a place in heaven for us, a place where, by his grace, we shall come as those whom he has dealt with as his children in love to their souls. "And seekest thou great things for thyself, seek them not." Amen.